Welcome to Minute Impossible. It's not Friday, but it's the last episode we're going to have of this season. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us one last time the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Nathan.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have our five people of we have our round table, our Mission Impossible Minute Impossible round table. Here it is, right here. Nathan.
Really big shoe.
Dave, Jonathan, Chris, moi.
Who's
and
moi?
And we are talking just about lots of things. So this last episode is kind of a reflecting back kind of episode. This is one of those episodes where we thank everybody who listened and went all the way through the show. Thank you so much. Three of you are on the podcast right now with us, so we couldn't do it without you guys. It's hilariously fun to hang out with you. Online, it's fun to hang out with you in the Facebook group and on Twitter and everything. So, yeah, just stop sending me emails when I screw stuff up. And
so stick with text messages is what you're saying.
Yeah. Facebook calls. You got to hit that phone.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Hit the group. Hit the group so that way it's public.
Good idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Then everybody else can say, yeah, I saw that problem too.
Yeah, you sound terrible this week.
Totally botched that one.
Thumbs up, clicking that thumbs up, hit that like.
Yep, hit that like up in the corner, down here, click the subscribe. Well, welcome back for one last one. This one we're going to talk about our favorite bits of the show. It's a little self-congratulatory, but I thought this would be a good way to start it off and talk about the bits we did and also bits you might like to see in the future. So put on your thinking cap. And just because you say that bit does not mean it's going to happen, but because some of them are organic and don't actually get planned. The only time they're ever planned is when we do something out of order and we have to go back and actually self-fulfill the prophecy that we said we were going
like
to do.
Like when someone forgets to record.
Someone forgets to record. There's a lot of ways that can happen. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Nathan. You've been mainlining this show for the past probably months.
Yeah, it's
trying to
it's
get
been pretty
current.
Bad. Oh, there's so a sorry. Lot of concentrated Rob in there, and it took some dark times in there.
Rumley.
So, clearly I think the voices are fantastic.
In all of
their horribleness, you have to keep them. That's what I always enjoy, and even when my kids accidentally listen to something that may or may not involve a sex dojo, they always enjoy the voices. So keep that coming. It's glad to see that Chris finally came into his own and got his first initiated voice in the series. So
one of my favorite episodes of this year is the minute that.
Yeah, you sounded actually surprised that Chris came up with his voice. So it was fantastic.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Came out of nowhere. And that came from also recording earlier.
Yeah,
so
that was one of the earlier things when I'm, you know, during this, when we were recording earlier on, most of it was during the school year. So I was up, you know, at like 6 a.m. and then working while my son was in school and going to get him. And then by the time I got back and fed him and got him relaxed, it was like 10 o'clock at night and I was already ready to pass out, so I was low energy.
I will say I did miss Larry's fan fiction though.
This, you know what, he will hear this right now. He'll probably be a hiatus episode. It's just we couldn't fit in. He was not as current. My dad had some health issues this year. He's okay, it's all good now. But he was not as current as he was, so he could literally only talk about the first half of the movies, and I enjoyed last year. He like kind of wrapped up the show, like for a week. He just wrapped up every he had his long laundry list, and he'll have another laundry list for me. So we'll probably do that in the hiatus. That way he can catch up. So don't worry, Larry's list.
Then one of the subtle things you changed this year that I smiled at every time was your unique way of entering Tech of the Ep. And I'll be honest, I was a little sad to get the credits that I don't have Tech of the Ep. But I always enjoyed the, we're going to somersault into the tech of the app, or we're going to skydive into the tech of the app. So it's a nice little change. I liked it. Kudos to you guys.
Thanks, man. Jonathan, what nice things can you say about us?
Good luck topping nice all things. That.
Yes, I agree with Nathan a lot of that stuff. The nubbin talk, was that more specific to this movie, you think? You think that'll continue?
No, it's one of those things we talked about this. Every time, like kind of like when we went to Denver last year for our MXM conference, there were a lot of inside jokes that kind of just became things. Yeah. And people are like, are we going to continue those things? I'm like, it's not fun. No. It's fun to find the next thing. Yeah. Next year will be, it's a whole
So you won't vibe. Be wooking Panub in all the wrong places.
See, now that, there, okay. Funny. See, somehow it works there. That made me laugh. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'd show you I'm wearing my nubbin shirt right now. Mm-hmm. The listeners can't see it, and you guys can't see it either because I'm seem to be wearing an accordion on me
right now. He's gonna rumbly us.
Rumbly us. Yep. Yeah.
I was only half paying attention to the recording time and didn't realize that the agreed time was in a different time zone. So I had a little bit of time as I was prepping.
I love that you and your wife can't get time zones right. Tabitha has famously gotten there an hour early. I heard something.
Let's see if I can.
I would like to change my answer on the what I loved most about this series this year, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's my favorite.
124. Nice job. Wait. Nice job, Jonathan.
Way
bringing
to
end it
of
high.
The thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a show that's had a didgeridoo and a vuvuzela on, and you've topped it. Oh, and right. Train whistle. Train whistle. There it is. I knew it was here. Oh, and Rob's crappy keyboard.
I'd say, Carlisle, that man, I want now. I need like a scene in a Mission Impossible movie in Paris, and you have it where it's like it's in the background.
He's just in the background.
And like
little diegetic sound.
Yeah, Vin Rames and Tom Cruise, they're talking about a plan. You're focusing on them, but wait a second.
He could be like that lady playing the Spider-Man theme in the background of those Raimi films.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that. Thank you, Jonathan. That is the greatest thing you could do was. Spend a few minutes figuring out the Mission Impossible theme song.
Yeah, I mean, I could have watched the credits, but who cares?
No one on this podcast.
No. Although I did do some research, being all like, you know, musically connected and everything. I do like the Mission Impossible hook, and it's amazing that it has survived, what, like 50 years, 60 years?
Yeah, 50 plus, yep.
Yeah. So if you go to a website called whosampled.com, it gives you like, I guess it probably gives you like charted singles or something, because I'm sure there's a million different covers of the Mission Impossible theme, but there's like 19 entries, and a couple of those that popped out were Leonard Nimoy. Mm-hmm. You know that he did a Mission Impossible cover?
No, did he sing it?
No, it's just like his jazzy. Have you've heard like the Bilbo song that he did?
Mm-hmm. Bilbo.
It might have been on the same album or something. It was the Mr. Spock's Music from Outer Space was the name of the album.
Wasn't he?
But it's the exact same kind of music.
Wasn't he in the original series for a bit?
Yes, series 4 or season 4, episode 24, okay. Death Squad.
Death Squad.
They just killed everybody that episode. They were just like, no pretense, no masks,
yep.
No trickery. They just went in and bam, bam, bam. All right, episode's done.
So
they just call it Tony Beretta's.
I tried to watch the TV series in between.
And your TV burnt off. Yeah,
I didn't know how it ended. But no, in between the first season of Mission Impossible and rewatching the second Mission Impossible, I tried to watch the TV series, and it was pretty lousy.
I'm not a huge fan of it either.
But it did remind me of the Tom Cruise facial prosthetics that he had as far as how they did the mask. Yeah. Nose. Oh, it was pretty gross. And it looked like they just glued it on and didn't spend any time. I'm like,
well, I'm sure the 4K transfer is not does not do any wonders for that clay that they're like putting
as
on
you
their
point
faces.
Out every time you come over to my house, I'm only on 1K. So, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Is it still a tube TV?
Are you talking
TV?
About the 60s yeah. or the like the late 80s?
No, the 60s version.
Oh, the late 80s one. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty bad, that late 80s one.
It's not. Not
see, I watched that in the late 80s, and like I said last episode, I don't remember any of that, but I do remember the theme song.
Yeah. Then don't bring it up.
But he watched it once. He just didn't put it to long-term memory.
Yeah, we're going to be quizzed.
I know there was music, and I know there was a fuse that burnt, and that's all I needed
someone,
to know.
If someone had gone to him as a child and said, Jonathan, someday there will be a thing called podcasts where a bunch of people with beards are going to talk about the thing you're watching right now, so I need you to watch it as closely as you
one
can.
1 minute at a time.
Yes.
Ugh. Ugh. Then I went to watch it. I hated watching stuff or reading stuff or whatever that people made me read.
All right, like, Dave, you are the king of good writing and good bits. Mm-hmm. What things did you like? What things did we miss? What things would you like to see next year?
I loved the continuation of bringing someone from the creative side into the room so you can like point a finger at them. So, you know, you could point a finger at De Palma when he does something. You could point a finger at Robert Town. I think that's going to be the trick because, all right, so we're kind of like at the end of Robert Towne's he's not doing anything. He's not going to make another good movie. Like, we know that. We just know it's not going to happen anymore. And right now,
the truth hurts.
We're going into Mission Impossible 3. And so I was
that's
like,
not true. I'm making a remake of Alfred Hitchcock's 39 Steps.
Just die, man. Just take the retirement on the beach. Just die.
Well, we're never gonna have him on the podcast now.
No, you're better than him.
All right.
So I'm thinking about, you know, we're going to Mission Impossible 3, and I go, okay, I know this is JJ's first movie, and he brought his two boys in, Kurtzman and Orsi, who I got tired of their writing real fast.
I think most of America did too.
Yeah, and so like we're kind of through the beginning because I looked. It's like, yeah, they did obviously some TV shows. They did like
not Paramount. We love it.
Oh my goodness. So you got Tommy Paramount. No, that's a good character too because you could like represent like the business side of things where it's like they just see money and they don't get like
that's
you know,
John C. McCloy that just sees money, right?
Oh, John C. McCloy. I live in a
mountain.
So we're gonna have the thing is. Kurtzman, JJ, Orsi, I've never heard those other two talk, but yeah, JJ, he just talks like this. He's just a regular nerdy guy. So I definitely.
Well, at the time of this taping, wait until you hear the Dum Dum Squad on the week before. We have JJ's voice is distilled.
Okay.
Not by me, by someone else.
Well,
so.
Then
so get ready.
I can't wait to bring JJ on. Anytime JJ does a JJ thing, we could just be like, all right, Jay, like explain this one. So I'm looking very forward to that.
There's JJ, and there's the funny thing is finding the voices that are always the ones you would never do. Like Billy Baird being the least character there is in this movie, but having him scream all the time is just, I think it's funny. I always think it's funny to scream off mic.
Yeah.
I love
that. And that's the thing is that his team is really competent in the third one. Like, I got nothing against anyone. Like,
we get new Billy.
Who's new Billy?
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Right. I guess. I think he's very forgettable. I can't remember. I remember Simon Pegg and Maggie Q.
I think he flies a helicopter.
He does?
Yeah. He flies the helicopter at the beginning of the movie.
Wow. Through the windmills.
One of the least exciting...
Save it. Nathan, save it.
All right.
Least exciting helicopter chases ever.
I mean, no, it's...
No, we're not talking about it.
That's something I'll look forward to watching. Because I remember Simon Pegg. I remember Maggie Q.
I don't remember Maggie Q.
How can you forget Maggie
I mean, they made a big deal about...
He had to remind me. Chris had to... I was like, oh, she's in that movie. What part does she play? He's like, she's on the team. I go, really?
Yeah. What about Felicity?
There was the Lamborghini. The Lamborghini dress scene. They made a big show.
I remember her in that, but I really thought she was Philip Seymour Hoffman's like person.
Yeah,
like
most of her scenes were with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I know one of the weirdest scenes is definitely Maggie Q and Simon Pegg talking about Ethan Hunt while Ethan Hunt's in the building. And you're like, can I see Ethan? Like, I can't wait for those minutes because you'd be like, This is cool. Can I see Ethan? He's in the building. You just sent him into the building. Can we stop cutting to people talking about what's Ethan doing? I guess he's in there. Oh, okay. I'm like, no, I paid the ticket. Show me the Ethan stuff.
Don't show me the extra stuff.
Yeah. That's
the B-roll.
So that's going to be some real JJ, subvert where you think you're going to, where we're sending our parts. So.
Oh, I know we Jonathan and I already talked a little bit about this in the season about how he was coming right off of Alias. So, and this was his first big, feature. And he'd done Lost as well.
Mm.
So this, the majority of the movie still feels like a TV movie. And that's my biggest problem with it,
Yeah. I mean, I never.
Yep, and it's shot that way. We'll get to it.
So right now, plot wise, let's see. In this timeline, it's 2000. What is JJ working on? Like, is he working on something at this point? It's 2000. What is he doing?
He's about to do Alias.
About to do Alias. Okay, so we're that kind of early. We're still that early.
Which I love. I love Alias. I think it's one of the. I like it better than Lost.
Oh, you know what? He's working on Felicity too.
Yes.
Okay, he's working on Felicity. Okay.
But that's not something you would see. That's your meat and potatoes. You need to have a job.
Yeah.
He also wrote Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Yeah, you did hear. So
he was also writing that new Superman movie that they were trying to get off the ground at that point. Flyby. Yeah. Which apparently he may resurrect is what I'm hearing. So we'll see.
So, all right. So give me the quickest breakdown of Alias. I know it's Jennifer Garner and she wears a lot of wigs and does spy stuff. Did she have a real team in the show? Like showed her.
Okay. I don't remember much of a team.
Jonathan, you saw the show once. Yeah. What do you remember?
I did watch Alias, and I do remember more about that than I do the old.
Was it Bradley Cooper her handler?
Yeah, Bradley Cooper wasn't her handler. He was her neighbor or something.
It was before he was as handsome as he is now. He seems to have gotten handsomer. He was just kind of dorky.
Yeah, he was
right? This is pre-Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah, this is before Midnight Meat Train, too, yeah. He was like her best friend, neighbor that was in love with her.
He was in the friend zone.
Yeah, yeah. And Michael Vartan was her handler, I think.
Damn it.
That's right, yes, Michael Vartan.
And see where his career is now compared to Bradley Cooper. Jennifer Garner made the wrong choice.
So, all right.
She could have been Rocket Raccoon all this time.
So it wasn't really a team. It was like a person comes to her and says, here's your mission. You got to do it. And then the trailers always showed her putting different wigs and outfits.
Yeah, she was kind of thrown into it because her father was involved.
Okay.
And
what are we talking about?
Alias? There was definitely a team, but it was very her specific. But there was a team of, there was a certain cast, but she was kind of her.
But it was always
there's
support.
There's a method to my madness. Yeah, there's a method to my madness right now because I want us to set us up for Mission Impossible 3 without talking about Mission Impossible 3. So I'm trying to set the table for like where we are timeline. Like we're ending the John Woo. We're kind of the John Woo and obviously the Robert Town stuff is ending. They don't really do anything really into
give us the Hellfire.
Yet. Yeah. At
Hellfire.
And we have a new generation of writers and directors coming up. So I kind of want to set the table of like what they were writing, what the characters were like, what people were getting interested in seeing. So
ensemble. It's more procedural. If you think about it, 3 has more behind the scenes. We get to see Benji and the gang behind that's very Alias.
Okay.
We see the spy and the people who make them the spy.
And the thing is that J.J. Abrams was very into wanting to bring back the old school Mission Impossible feeling. Because he felt like there wasn't enough of a team.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
And with Lost, he knew how to pace a lot of different characters who may not all know how to work together at first, but then work together. Like, it's like
And I mean, he'd been writing films since, the early 90s with like Taking Care of Business with Charles Grodin and Jim Belushi and Regarding Henry and Forever Young. And he had, he'd become a pretty big deal writing wise. And he was also in 6 Degrees of Separation. So, his career was crazy for a while. He was primarily a writer and a TV showrunner. And this was the, because Tom Cruise had been binging Alias, that's why he chose him.
Okay.
He wanted the film to feel like that. That's literally what it was. And we're coming off of, almost a 4 or 5 year difference from the last movie to this movie.
And
6 years, actually.
And so we're talking about Bond. What Bond movies happened right now? So obviously we're at the end of the Brosnan. Like, when was Die Another Day?
Yeah, we were like right at the end because we had from this Mission Impossible to the next Mission Impossible, the only Bond film we had was...
Was it Die?
Die Another Day, and Casino Royale was about to come out.
Oh, okay.
So Casino Royale came out, I think, 6 months after Mission Impossible.
I'm very curious if, like, yeah, Tom also, like, he saw that coming. He's like, oh, they're rebooting it. I want to kind of, I want to get my, another reboot. I want to reboot my own series.
But of course, at this point, this was the last, that one was considered the last Mission Impossible because Sumner Redstone didn't want anything to do with Tom Cruise after this.
Mm.
So the fact that there was probably going to be another reboot of Mission Impossible after that film was a lot, was talked about a lot.
Wow.
And there was like, they're never going to make another Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. That's why when, you know, Ghost Protocol came up, it was a matter of, oh, let's bring in, it was originally, we're going to bring in somebody else and Tom Cruise for a cameo. Tom Cruise got wind of it, didn't like it. It became, no, I want to do more and that other guy can.
I can't wait. I really can't wait the two some years we're going to have to get to that part where it's like you could feel Cruise being like, no, we got to rewrite something. I'm very exactly. interested.
I can't wait either.
Yeah.
And this is a good place as any to say, Chris, this is our last episode for a little while. We're going to do a hiatus.
Ooh.
And I've enjoyed doing this with you
for the past
124 episodes.
Oh.
We're now at a point where I think we could do the third one pretty easily.
Yeah,
I
agree.
This year was so much not as smooth.
We all had a lot
recording.
Going on
last time we recorded everything so effortlessly. I'm like, I don't know why anybody has any problems doing this.
Yeah, well, I think by the time we got to January, we were almost done.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it was super fun this year, and I'm excited for next year or next season, Mission Impossible 3. We'll be doing some Patreons. Again, thank you everyone who was a Patreon. I want to thank our guests today, Jonathan, Dave, and Nathan. Thank you guys for coming.
Do I get to plug anything?
No problem.
Don't we do plugs on the last day?
Yes, you'll get to plug today. Awesome. Because you guys have done the best thing ever and be on the credits, please take your plug time and wallow in it. Jonathan, tell us about what you're working on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to do the quick one for the Princess Bride Minute. It's all done. Go listen to that. But the thing I'm working on right now is UHF 60 Second, the Minute podcast all about UHF, Weird Al's 1989 movie, UHF.
Awesome.
It's great. Lots of people love it. You'll love it, too.
Thanks. Dave, what about you?
Yes, I work on 5 Minutes of Mystery. We already talked earlier, I did Groundhog Minute. So if you love the Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, I got that. Me and Sean did that. But yeah, I work on 5 Minutes of Mystery. I cover Mystery Men. So it's in the same vein right around this time, late 90s. They don't really know how to do superhero movies. And I think we had a really funny ensemble with that. And currently, by the time this comes out, I'm working with our cystic fibrosis trivia tournament. So by this point, we're going to get ready for the Portland finale. So it should be really exciting times. It's also in the same 5 Minutes of Mystery feed. You can listen.
Awesome. Nathan, what about you? What plugs do you have?
All right,
have,
so
sir?
I am a featured guest on Minute Impossible, episodes Ooh. 121 through 124. That's all I got.
I got to listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's try it one more time. Chris, you got anything to plug?
Nubbins is running for president, my cat. Nubbins 2020.
All right.
On Instagram. All right,
no politics.
Is he at the debate tonight?
She's not in the debate tonight. She's running as an independent. So. You know, she's trying to get that Bernie thing going. yeah. But she's running she's on Instagram at Nubbins 2020 and on Facebook. No, Twitter. She's on Twitter. She's not on Facebook.
So weird. All right.
Set up a Patreon for her so she can have a wet food.
Well, if we appreciate everybody that has listened to our show all the way through, all of our patrons on Patreon, go to patreon.com/minuteimpossible to find us and to listen to some of our stuff during hiatus. We're going to have both hiatus episodes on Patreon, more Patreon than we're going to have in this feed. We will have a few things, and until then, we'll talk to you out in the internet. We'll talk to you on our IMF group, the Impossible Minute Force. Come out there and find us. Thank you for listening to 124 episodes, and until next season, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Dave.
I've been Jonathan.
I've been Nathan.
Why does Nathan get the last word?
Well, you just did.
I'm Robert Town.
No, I did.
Where's the rabbit's foot?
Yes.
You mean a rabbit's foot, Ethan?
I can't wait until next year. It's going to be awesome. New voice
teaser.
Chris, give it to us.
This sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, wow. I said I was thinking about laughing at Dave.
200 plus episodes to get it right.
Less than 1 minute ago.
This minute will self-destruct.
Bang!
Play us out, Jonathan.
I gotta practice more.
No, you don't.